Let's pray together. God, as we just sang in those words, Christ has risen from the grave, and he's seated at your right hand right now, and that has changed everything. It's changed everything. If Christ has not been raised, then what are we doing? But we believe that he's alive. He's not dead, he's alive. And that has changed everything. And Lord, I ask that this morning, through the words that I say, through your words, that we can come awake, just as Paul wrote in Ephesians, that we can come awake from our slumber and stop living selfishly and live for you. And in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. This morning, I want to start off my sermon with a confession. And what I'm going to be preaching about this morning, I struggle with living out. I'm a hypocrite. Some of the words that I'm going to talk about and encourage you to do and to live, I know that it is hard for me to live that way. And I feel like as I begin this sermon, I was convicted in my preparation time that I just need to confess that. I just need to let you know that I struggle in what I'm going to be trying to tell you of how to live. Now, don't worry, I'm not saying that I struggle with drunkenness or sexual immorality or lying or something like that. What I'm talking about is actually much worse than those things. It's what C.S. Lewis called the great sin. It's the sin of selfishness. And I confess to you that too often when I live my life, every part of my life, the conversations that I engage in, the activities that I'm a part of, the projects that I help direct, everything that I'm a part of in my life, often it's for me. That everything I do, often it revolves around me and how it affects me. That often so ingrained into the behavior and the pattern of my life is selfishness. And just to show you how ingrained this is within my life, let me just tell you a quick story to illustrate. Many of you know, my family and I, we've moved into a new house, and we're still working on our landscaping. We'll probably work on it for quite a while. Working on our landscaping. And I asked one of our partners in the gospel here at Southside if he might have some time to come and help us with our landscaping. And he said, well, I appreciate you asking me, but I'm working a lot of hours right now. They're just working me like a dog at my office, and I just don't have any time to help out. But maybe in the evening, I can stop by your house and give you a few pointers, give you a few suggestions. I said, hey, we'll take whatever we can get. And so he stopped by, sure enough, stopped by our house one night and looked at our yard and gave us some suggestions about our landscaping and what we could do, and I really appreciated that. Well, I was talking with him just a few days ago, And as we were talking, he shared with me that he just recently lost his job. That the company was bought out by another company. They decided to downsize. And because of that, he had his position was eliminated and he had lost his job. Now, do you know what the first thought that came into my head when he told me that? It was not, oh, I'm so sorry that you lost your job and there's, you know, uncertainty about the future. The first thought that came to my head was, great, now you can help me with my yard. Now, fortunately, I didn't say that. I've learned a little bit. But later on, I was thinking about that, and I thought, how selfish of me. Here is someone who has just shared a burden with me, and I have interpreted what he has said based on how it affects me. That's selfishness. What I should have been doing is been empathetic and heard what he said and cared about him. But too often, that's the way I live. all the conversations I have, the news that I hear, the entertainment that I do, even sometimes my faith, it's all about me. And I wanted to start off my sermon by confessing that to you for two reasons. Number one, I just want to be honest with you. I want you to know where I'm coming from as I talk about Ephesians chapter 4 and 5. But number two, I wanted to start off my sermon that way because maybe I'm not alone in this struggle. And maybe because I have shared my confession with you this morning, maybe you'll have the courage to make a similar confession also this morning. And maybe through all of that, God might bring renewal to your life and to my life. I want you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll be looking at chapter 4, verse 17, all the way into chapter 5. I've mentioned a couple times that the first three chapters of the book of Ephesians is really about what God has done in Christ for us. Paul put a lot of emphasis in the first three chapters of how Jesus' coming changed everything and how it has shaped who we are. But then starting in chapter 4, verse 1, Paul shifts from talking about what God has done to what God calls us to and how we are to act. He says in 4 verse 1, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called. God has called us. That's what chapters 1 through 3 is about. God has called us to new life, new hope, to a new identity. And Paul says, now I want you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling you have received. And what Paul is really trying to emphasize here is he's trying to tell the Christians, I want your behavior to match your theology. I want your lifestyle to be consistent with your belief system. God has shaped who you are, and now how you act should be congruent with that. You see, to Paul, it doesn't make any sense that there would be someone who would claim to be a minister or a church leader while at the very same time struggle with some kind of addiction. To Paul, it would not make any sense if there was a Christian who on Monday or Tuesday would be doing illegal or unethical activities in their workplace, and then on Sunday morning, they would teach a Sunday school class. To Paul, it would not make sense if there's a teenager who on Friday and Saturday night is going out partying, but then on Sunday morning sits on the front row. To Paul, that does not make sense. Your behavior should match your theology. Your lifestyle should be consistent with your belief system. Who you are should be congruent with how you act. There should be a connection. We should walk in a manner worthy of our calling. And in chapter 4, verse 17, Paul continues this emphasis. But the way that he continues this emphasis is by essentially describing two kinds of walks, two pathways that we can journey down in our life. And essentially, he talks about these two walks starting in chapter 4, verse 17, all the way down to chapter 5, verse 20. Now, we're not going to be able to go into great depth about all of that, but I want to just give you on the surface a picture of the two kinds of walks that Paul is talking about. Sometimes he refers to them as the old way and the new way, or the old self and the new self. Sometimes he describes the walks as the walk of darkness or the walk of light. Another time he describes it as walking in the way of wisdom or being wise or walking as unwise or foolish. But two different walks, and I just want to describe them to you very briefly. First, he talks about this old way, this old walk. And starting in verse 17, he gives us some descriptions of what this old way or this old walk is like. That it's a walk where there's futile thinking, darkened understanding, where you have ignorance and a hardened heart. Someone walking down this old path, they're going to be engaging in activities like self-indulgence and greed and impurity and recklessness and judgment. They're going to have practices in their life like breaking out in rage and anger, being bitter towards other people, lying all the time, and engaging in sexual immorality. That's the old way, Paul says. That's the old self. That's the old walk. That's the walk of darkness. It's the walk of foolishness. But then he describes this second walk. And the second walk is very different. It's not like the way of the Gentiles. Instead, this is the way of Christ. And also, he describes this starting in verse 20 of chapter 4, 20 and 21. Instead of having futile thinking and darkened understanding and ignorance, in the way of Christ, we have a new mind. We have a new mind and we're a new creation. Instead of practicing things like self-indulgence and greed and impurity, we practice righteousness and holiness. Instead of engaging in activities like rage and bitterness and lying and sexual immorality, instead we speak truthfulness. We control our anger. We control our rage. We're generous. We're kind. We're thankful. We're grateful for what God has given us, and we forgive others. We forgive others. That's the new way. That's the new self. That's what God creates within us by His Spirit. It's the walk of light. It's the walk of wisdom. And maybe you can summarize these two walks very succinctly if you compare two verses, chapter 4, verse 19, and chapter 5, verse 2. Look at those two verses with me. In chapter 4, verse 19, Paul, talking about the old way, the old walk, he says, "And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality." Someone who's walking down the old path, Paul says, they give themselves up to sensuality. Now, sensuality is a word that basically means to let the self go. To throw off any inhibitions you might have and just do what you want to do. Focus on self and your desires and your wishes and your dreams. To give yourself over, to put it in one word, selfishness. That's the old way. That's the way of darkness. That's the way of foolishness, to just give yourself over to self. But then compare that to chapter 5, verse 2. Chapter 5, verse 2, talking about this new way, this new path, Paul says this, "And walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." So Paul says here, this new way, it's the way of Christ. It's following the pattern of Christ. And what did Christ give himself up for? He didn't give himself up to sensuality, to selfishness. He gave himself up for us, for others. Instead of being selfish, he was selfless. And Paul says, if you want to walk in the new way, what the new way is all about is love. It's walking in love. Love for God and love for others. That's the difference. The old way is selfishness. The new way is love. And Paul's point that he's trying to make through these two chapters is very simple. God has made you new. God in Christ has changed everything, changed who you are. So live like it. If God has given you a new identity, if God has welcomed you into His church, then live like it. Live the new way. Live the way of Christ. Don't be going back to the old path. Don't be going back to the way of darkness. Wake up, he'll say later in chapter 5. Wake up, O sleeper, and live in the way of light. Live this new way, not a way of selfishness, but a way of love. But how do we do that? How do we do that? There was a French monk in the 11th century by the name of Bernard of Clairvaux. At least I think that's how you pronounce it. And he did some thinking about love, walking in love. And he came up with these 4 degrees of love. 4 degrees that as someone matures in their walk with Christ, they're going to grow in these different degrees of love. The first degree is this: loving oneself for one's own sake. This is where you just simply love yourself and you focus on yourself for your own self's sake. This is pure selfishness. This is the old way right here, where you just focus on your agenda, your dreams, your goals, your desires, what you want. You love yourself for your own sake. But then Bernard said, once we commit to following Christ and become new, we shift from focusing on self to now focusing on God. And we move to the second degree, which is where we love God for one's own sake. That now our focus is not on ourselves, but instead it's on God and loving God. But if you notice the motivation, though, is still selfish. We love God for our own sake. We love God for what He gives us. We love God for the benefits. We love God for the gifts. That's why we love Him. That's why we're interested in Him, because He gives us things, and so that's why we love Him. Well, that's just the second degree. When instead we grow a little bit further and we start to love God not for a selfish motivation, but for a godly motivation, we move to the third degree, which is loving God for God's own sake. Where now we love God and we want to serve God not for what He gives us, not for the benefits, but because of who God is. Because God is a God of glory. God is a God of love. God is the Creator. And we just want to love Him for who He is. We don't care if He gives us anything or not. We just want to be in His presence. We want to be in His presence. That's the third degree. And then Bernard said, once we arrive at this perspective, now we have the maturity to turn back towards ourselves and turn back towards others and love self, love oneself for God's sake. So we love ourselves and we love others for how God sees us. Not how we see ourselves, but how God sees us. That's how we want to love others. Now, I want you to look at these four degrees. If you'll notice, as we move from one down to four, there is one thing that shifts. It shifts at the third degree, and that is the second phrase. The first two degrees are all for one's own sake, but then there's a shift where now it's for God's sake. That there's a change in the primary central motivation of why we are doing things. The first two degrees, it's all about me. But then third and fourth, it's now about God. And I think that sums up the distinction between the old way and the new way, where our motivation, the central motivation of our life, moves from self to God. It's kind of like Galileo. Remember Galileo, 16th century Italian scientist, who he learned through his observation and experimentation that the solar system, the planets in our solar system, were not orbiting around Earth. They were orbiting around the sun, right? And so he started to make that known to everyone, that we live in a universe not where Earth is at the center, but where the sun is at the center. And that was a huge paradigm shift, right? Because before, we thought, we're the center of everything, but now, no, the sun is the center of our solar system. And that's the idea that Paul is talking about here in Ephesians 4 and 5. Shift from the old way to the new way. The old way, self is the center of everything. That everything we do in our life, all of our relationships, all of our conversations, all of our actions, they all orbit around self. But when we move to the new way, now we realize, no, self doesn't need to be the center. Christ needs to be the center. He's the center. And everything in our life revolves around Him. That's the shift from self and selfishness to love, recognizing that God is the center of our life. But how do we make that shift? Because as I mentioned earlier, too often, while I know that intellectually, and I can speak it to you intellectually, it's very difficult to live out. It's so easy to just get wrapped up in my own agenda and my own goals and my own wants and desires and to think it's all about me. And how do I make this shift, recognizing that the center of my life, the center of the world, is not me, but Christ? I think the answer is found in Ephesians 5, verse 2. In that verse, Paul says this, "And walk in love just as Christ loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." Sacrifice. Sacrifice. That phrase, an offering and a sacrifice to God, that comes from Psalms 40, that phrase. And the phrase is used in worship, that someone would come to worship God bringing their offering and their sacrifice, and it was to be an aroma to God. And Paul says that's what Christ was. He was a sacrifice. He was an offering, and he came before God, and his aroma was pleasing to him. And I think that's the way we walk in love. That's how we make the shift from selfishness to selflessness, is when we are willing to sacrifice. That's why Paul put it in Romans chapter 12. He says, "Therefore, I urge you, in view of God's mercies, to offer your bodies as a living," what? "Sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him." Paul understood that if you want to walk in the way of Christ, the way of Christ is sacrifice. He gave himself up for us as an offering, as a sacrifice. So if you want to walk in his way, it's going to require you to sacrifice. And what I've learned in my life is in the moments of my life where I have to sacrifice, where I've got to clear off my agenda to help someone else, where I've got to give up something that I want to be a blessing to someone else, when I have to be a sacrifice, those are the moments where I recognize it's not about me. And I need to remove myself from the center of my world and put Christ there, because that's what it's all about. It takes sacrifice to do that. As I studied this text, it seems to me that the question of this text is this question. If you want to see if you're walking in the new way, I'll give you a good test question right here. Whether you're the old way or the new way, I can tell you right now, if you can answer this question, is your life, are you living your life as a life of sacrifice? Because if you're living your life as a life of sacrifice, you're walking in the new way, because that's the way of Christ. But if you're living your life as comfortable and making sure that your dreams are being taken care of and you're not really sacrificing for anyone or for God, you're in the old way. You're in the way of selfishness. And so we have to challenge ourselves. Are we willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to say, "I'll clear off everything for my day so I can spend time with my family or with my friends because they need me"? Are we willing to take money that we've saved up for some luxury and give it to someone else to go on a mission trip? Are we willing to set aside our own goals and aspirations because there's a loved one or a family member who needs tending to and we're going to need to spend time with them? Are we willing to give up our spare time to come and be a servant for the church or to be a servant for God in some way? Steve, that's kind of hard to do. Yes, they're sacrifices. That's the whole point. They're sacrifices. And that's the new way, Paul says. It's following the way of Christ, the way of love, where we sacrifice just like Christ sacrificed for us. And if we're not willing to do that, we're in the old way, the way where self is the center of everything. And which way are you in? You might have seen this past week about Rick Warren, the preacher out in California. His son committed suicide, which is a terrible thing and terrible tragedy, and we sympathize with him. But as I was studying this text, I was reminded of Rick Warren and his book, The Purpose-Driven Life. You probably remember that book. It was written in 2002, sold over 30 million copies. Probably you read it or you have a copy of it. And like all the others, I got a copy of it myself, even taught a few classes on it. And one thing that I remember distinctly about that book, the one thing that I took away from that book was this. It was the very first sentence of the book. When you opened up The Purpose-Driven Life and you went to the very first chapter, the very first portion there, the very first sentence that you read was this. It's not about you. And when I opened up the book and I read that phrase, I said, wow, what a way to begin the purpose-driven life. Because no telling how many people went out to buy that book saying, okay, now I'm going to find out my plan for life. I'm going to find out what God wants for me. Now I'm going to learn what my goal in life should be, what the meaning of my life should be. And they open it up and they read the first sentence, it's not about you. Huh. It's not about you. And I think that's what Paul is trying to tell us here in Ephesians 4 and 5. You want to walk in the way of Christ? Okay, I'll tell you how to walk in the way of Christ. It's not about you. That's the first thing. Get yourself out of the center and put Christ there. Because it's all about God and sacrificing for Him. And this morning, maybe you were like me and you're convicted of the selfishness in your life. And you need to make a confession. I hope you have the courage to do that. And we're going to have shepherds surround this building. Maybe you just need to walk to one of them. And you can say this if you want to. I'm with Steve on this one. And I struggle with this. And if you are convicted in your heart this morning, I hope you'll say that. And I hope you'll do that. There's no shame in saying that. There's growth in saying that. Or maybe you're ready to become a child of God and to be baptized into Christ. Baptism is a selfless act. It's where we give up self. And we say, it's all about you, God, and about your will, and I'm going to sacrifice for you and for others. And if you're ready to become a part of God's family, we would love to welcome you into His family. And during this song, just walk to the front. If there's a way that we can help you, we're going to sing a song, and shepherds are going to surround the building. Just walk to them, and they'll pray with you. Let's do that now as together we stand and sing.